Folks, is there a crisis of masculinity in America and the West? Well, it didn't happen last night here in New York City, where I ran into the apex predator at the bar. A very drunk British musician who did not have a problem coming right up into my face. I actually thought that, and I'll go into this in more detail because I know I am not the only one. There are women and men listening to this right now that I know have experienced, well, I don't know about the men, well, maybe now, have experienced this situation with the apex predator, right? The man that has had way too much to drink. He is a pseudo has-been rock and roll star, skinny jeans, really like crumbly face because of all the alcohol. Little wrinkly face right there. All the alcohol flushed and ready to get up in your face and spit all over you with his pickup lines. And yes, I know. I know it's like, this is going to be a flashback, right? I was telling my producers, hey, the 70s are calling and they want their drunk musician back. Yes, the 70s are calling and they want the drunk musician back. That is what we are going to talk about. We're going to be talking about the loss of masculinity versus the 70s apex predator, right? So it's just like a clash of the titans. And we're going to talk about like how the majority of men are not like this at all. They're just great guys. I absolutely believe that. And by the way, there is the apex woman too. I have seen that happen at bars. And I'm sure, guys, you guys have a lot of stories about that. Yes, the cougar, maybe. I don't know. Am I not being PC enough? This is what's so crazy. I don't want to be PC. This is the Sarah Carter Show. We are not going to be PC here. We're just going to say it like it is. We're going to talk about what is happening in our world. And on a very serious note, our world is now upside down. And we have to face the reality of that, and we have to be able to talk about it, and we can't be afraid to tell the truth, right? But before we get there, I want to tell you about Donors Trust. Donors Trust is a great sponsor of this show and an organization that I absolutely believe in. This is an organization where when you donate your money, you know it is going to organizations and projects that actually stand for American ideals. And that's why Donors Trust is a part of this show. They are principled. It's a tax-friendly way to simplify your charitable giving. And Donors Trust actually works with organizations that believe in the same principles, conservative principles that you believe in as well. Whether it's saving unborn babies, empowering entrepreneurs to offer alternatives to failing public schools, or fighting green energy extremists that want to consolidate power. Donors Trust is the charitable giving account provider for you. Let my friends at Donors Trust help minimize your tax liability while maximizing your giving. Visit www.donorstrust.org/Sarah. That's www.donorstrust.org/Sarah. Again, that's www.donorstrust.org/Sarah. Okay, so I know you were all riveted. You're on the edges of your seat about the British guy. So let me fill you in on what happened. I'm here in New York, right? I'm in New York City. I'm working here for Fox. I mean, I was feeling pretty safe here. Before COVID, I was coming a lot to New York and to do shows with Sean. And I would, you know, pretty much walk everywhere, not have a problem, not have an issue. But things have changed. Things have changed in the city. Last year, crime was on the rise. We saw in 2022, there was a 23% increase in crime here. So you want to watch out where you're going, what boroughs you're in, areas where there might not be a lot of police presence. And then there is, and I'm going to get to the guy at the bar. I promise you, I'm going to get to the guy at the bar. But I want to talk a little bit about this for just one second because it sets the tone of the story, the whole tone of the Big Apple, right? You know, a woman alone in the Big Apple, danger lurking around every corner, right? And then you got right now about 53% of the felonies under the Manhattan DA's office were literally reduced to misdemeanors. So they were reduced to misdemeanors. And you've got people like just getting arrested and then being released the next day. I was talking to a cop here who was telling me, you know, it's tough that he used to get really upset about, you know, what was happening, about the fact that like they'd make these arrests, these guys would be kick free, you know, robberies, aggravated assaults. And then he just came to terms with it. You know, I've just got to do my job. I've got to do my job. I've got to protect the people in New York City. And, you know, if the DAs don't want to press charges, well, there's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is my job, and hopefully I'm saving lives. So thank God for the NYPD. Thank God for the New York Police Department. And last night, had there been an NYPD officer inside the Hard Rock Cafe bar, I was at the Hard Rock Cafe bar, and I'm going to tell you why I was at the bar. No, I was not trolling bars. I got off work and I walked. I walked over here because it was the only place open. They told me I could get some good food up there. I was talking to folks outside of Fox. So I come down. I'm staying here at the hotel. It's a beautiful hotel, by the way, brand new. Everybody here is amazing. The people that work here, it's gorgeous, just a gorgeous hotel, not far from the studios. Come into the hotel. Downstairs, they say, oh, well, the bar is still open till midnight because I hadn't had a chance to eat yesterday, not much at all. I'd been flying most of the day, came here to New York, like I said, for work, and got upstairs to the bar. You know, bartender's very nice. Everybody at the bar seems very kind. Nobody's being weird. Just a regular, normal crowd. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this face appears, like right in my face, like this, just this man face, like right in my face, like just coming right in. It was like, I was shocked. I jumped a little bit and he's like, baby doll, I haven't seen you in forever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking like, do I know this guy? Where do I know him? Do I know you? Like I thought maybe I worked with him and this is kind of weird. And I thought, well, he seems a little drunk, but maybe I worked with him at Fox, maybe somewhere. He's some kind of musician. I don't even know. I don't even know from where, but I did not know him. And I realized that. And I realized that he was, you know, he's being rude and brash. And then he was looking at me and saying things that I don't really want to say right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just hung up with my husband because I was getting my food. You know, I was waiting for my food so I could go back to my room, and this happens. And he's going on about this and about that. And like I said at the top of the show, the 70s is calling and they want their rock and roll star back or something. Because this guy is not anything like to the extreme now of what young men are today, seemingly, right? You know, in public. Because men are like actually really afraid a lot of times to even approach women, and it's sad. But then you have this guy who's like up in my face, like almost assaulting my space around me, you know, yelling in my ear. So finally I realized, don't even talk to this bonehead. But then the bartenders in front of me, there were two men and a woman. They were so nice, but they didn't do anything. They were just like looking at him like, kind of in horror. It was kind of like, I think the bartender was wondering like, okay, can she handle this herself or do I need to get involved here? Okay, I'm just going to step back and not get involved. Now, had that been my husband, even if my husband didn't know me, my husband probably would have clocked that guy. He probably just would have taken him out. Marty would just, he's just that kind of guy. He's like, you do not treat a woman like that at all. So I'm sitting there and I figure like the ignore situation is probably going to work here. So I just looked straight ahead. I started pretending to do something on my phone and the guy just kept going. Yakety yak, 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 all this stuff. Then it started getting a little bit more aggressive. And then finally, when I just pretended like he wasn't even there, he said the F you. He said F you. And he got up. He was mad. And walked away. And the reason I bring up this story is because, you know, I'm trying to figure out, right, like the different, I mean, social norms, I think that you and I, I mean, and I'm sure for all of you women out there that are listening to me right now, all of you, and I'm sure I'm talking to you directly, even men, you have experienced this kind of weirdness, right? Like the aggressive man or woman that comes into your space, and it could either be like for they're at a bar and they're drunk, or they are at like Starbucks and they're just in a bad mood and they're yelling at everybody. It's this aggressive behavior. But especially when it comes to the sexes, things have changed in our world. I feel like men, you know, like when I saw that guy, I was like, that's just way too much. That guy is just a problem and probably should have been escorted out of the bar, because who knows, maybe he could get violent, who knows. But he didn't with me, and so that was good. And I did make it back to my room fine and dandy. I called my husband right away and stayed on the phone with him. And, you know, I mean, this is part of the life of traveling and being a journalist, right? And you're running into things, or just being a woman and traveling. And you don't have to be a journalist. You could be a woman just going to the gas station to pump gas, and that could happen. But nowadays, young men are so worried. They are like, and young women, they don't know how to approach one another. They're scared. It's like they're not allowed to be who they are. Like the testosterone levels have been dropped to almost nothing. I think that guy took them all. I really do. I think that British guy just kind of loaded up on everybody's testosterone and just, you know, and he was exploding like at the bar. But so many young men, and even, you know, I have young children, young men who are, you know, dating age, and it's tough on them. I guess statistically now, dating online is like huge because people really don't know how to approach each other in public settings. There's no, you know, this personal space. People don't know how to deal with it anymore. And I think we're seeing that from this like super radical, weird left. And I think we're like living in upside down land where men and women, we're losing our roles in our society. We don't know where we really fit. I mean, even at work, I think men are terrified of like saying anything to a woman. They're just so afraid. And I'm not saying go back to the 70s and like crazy Hollywood and the casting couch days and all of that, you know, aggressive male power, you know, play. And we've seen it with females as well. But I'm saying like, give guys the opportunity to be men. You know, when I met my husband, I appreciated him so much because, and I still do, because he's a strong man. He is, you know, not only is he a great provider and a wonderful, amazing human being, but he's like, he's a tough guy. You don't mess with Marty, you know, and his family. I know that he would defend me, fight for me, and kill for me. Like if he thought my life was threatened, 100%. I have no doubt in my mind that my husband would do, I mean, he did it for his country, that he would do it for me and for his children, you know, and that's good. And I don't even mind, you know, I love him to pull out a chair for me. I love it. And he knows this. And I know you're listening to me, baby, because you listen to the podcast all the time. But I love it when he asks me like, oh, what are you wearing tonight? Or, oh, you know, even because he can't see me. So he'll ask me what I'm wearing and he'll appreciate me and, you know, and he'll take me out on a date and he'll plan surprises for me. And I love that. I love that. I love that he takes that role, you know, like, and that sometimes he does. He makes the decisions. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, should we do this? Should we do that? And you know, sometimes he just takes that burden off of me and he makes that decision. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. And I remember when I first met him in Afghanistan. Okay, I met him in Afghanistan and I remember thinking, okay, honest to God truth for all of you out there, because Marty always over-exaggerates how we met in Afghanistan, and maybe one day I'll tell the whole story or have him tell it. But, and I think we did once kind of before in a podcast, but the thing is that I remember seeing him. And it was dark. Howitzer fire was going off. It was crazy. We met at this forward operating base in a very dangerous part of Afghanistan near Helmand province, in between Helmand and Kandahar. And there had been fire all night as well from the Taliban. And he had walked up behind me. He wasn't trying to scare me, but, you know, kind of scared me a little bit when he said, "Hey," and I jumped because it was dark and I was trying to send a story back to the Washington Times, and our my satellite wasn't working. My BGAN satellite dish was not working. I couldn't get the story back. And I turned around and I said, "Don't ever do that to a woman. Don't ever walk up behind a woman and in the dark and say, 'Hey,' you know," because I was scared. And then I laughed. But then I thought, wow, that guy is hot. He is cute. Look at that. He looked all manly and been out there for like, he did not smell good. I could tell you that right now, because he had been out for like 2 weeks on the battlefield. That's for sure. But he, you know, he's a big guy and he just looked cute and he's like, "Apologize. I'm so sorry, ma'am. I didn't mean to scare you. I was just, you know," and I like that he was so polite. And then he just stole my heart. But I feel bad now, you know, that women don't have that for the most part, you know, that kind of experience, and that men have to feel so uncomfortable around women. And then it's even weirder. Then we got men that are transitioning into women, and then we've got to be like all woohoo about that and like super like, "Wow, that's awesome." And, you know, and drag queen story hour and all these crazy things that are happening in our world, and just the common boundaries of relationships, the most innate parts of us, of our courtships, of who we are as people, I feel like they're being trampled on. Like we don't know how to be ourselves. And that's a really, you know, that's a really tough thing. That's got to be really hard on all the young men out there. Now, for the guy, the British guy that was drunk in my face, yeah, unacceptable. That guy's got to go. You know, and by the way, you know, it's like, you know, it's that aggressive, you know, over-exaggerated behavior that probably led to this extreme. I have no idea. But I know there's a happy medium. You and I both know that. There is a happy medium. I'm sure, you know, you look at your spouse and you think like, you know, just go back and think about like how you felt about them that very first time that you saw them or met them. And, you know, if you're not, you know, a millennial right now, you remember, you know, the dating scene, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, it was a lot different. It was just a lot different than it is today, where people are meeting each other on computers and half their relationship is spent like, you know, on Instagram or, you know, or texting later. I don't know. It's just different. We need to think about that. And we need to get back to some kind of, you know, a respect for one another, but also a respect for the differences that make us so amazing as a species. And, you know, I'm all about my husband fighting for me. I'm all about my husband standing up for his family and defending his family. And I want him to have that. And, you know, and I also want him to feel like he can talk to me about anything. But, you know, I like the fact that he's a manly man. He knows that. I like that. That's just me. I have no problem with it. And I don't think he has any problem with me being feminine and, you know, those roles that we have in our lives. I think they're awesome. And I just want to hear what you guys think. I mean, I really do. I read all of your, you know, Twitter, you know, responses, and we try to go through, you know, the Facebook responses and YouTube and Rumble. And I just like to hear what you think, because I know this has got to be something that is bothering you as well. So speaking of protective husbands, I have a really incredible guest, Myra Flores, a former congresswoman of Texas. And I want to tell you something. Her husband is awesome. He is part of our law enforcement, our federal law enforcement family, a Border Patrol agent who isn't afraid of protecting our nation from predators that are trying to harm not only our children, but the children being trafficked into our country. But before I get to Myra, I want to talk to you a little bit about Allegiance Gold. You know, I've been touting Allegiance Gold now more than ever. And why? Because we can see what's happening in our world. Just look around you. Look at what's happening at the stock market. Look at what's happening across the globe. Look at the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and small banks being rescued. And we don't even know by bigger banks. We don't even know what's going on here. We don't even know if our money is really being protected. So we need to diversify. Diversifying is the most important thing. And you can do that with Allegiance Gold. And right now you can get a $5,000, listen to this. You can get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them that Sarah sent you. That's all you got to do. You get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them that Sarah sent you. My friends at Allegiance Gold can help protect your IRA, your 401k. Listen to this, with physical gold and silver. That's the way to diversify. You can have it delivered securely right to your front door. They will educate you on the benefits of physical gold because they care and they want to build this long-term relationship. Get $5,000 of free silver on a qualifying purchase when you tell them that Sarah sent you. So don't wait. Call or click today, 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A, or go to protectwithsarah.com. We can't control the Biden administration, folks, but we can prepare. 877-702-7272. That's 877-702-SARAH, S-A-R-A, or protectwithsarah.com. I'm so grateful to have Myra Flores on the show. She is a real fighter, you know, for family values, for Texas, for America. And she and I, we have now been crossing paths quite frequently in Texas. We're part of a Hispanic group that is working towards building on what we believe is innate values. Now, you know, and human rights, I mean, belief in freedom and liberty, and really bringing the conservative movement back to where it needs to be, to those fundamental values. The Republican Party, for a long time, failed to reach out to the grassroots level, to Hispanic communities, to Black communities, to diverse communities within our nation, because we were just talking before I came on the podcast, Myra and I, and it's right. Hispanic values, those are American values. And I'm just so grateful to have you on the show and for us to be able to talk and to get to know each other, because you are the first Mexican-born congresswoman in American history. In American history. I mean, that's an absolute amazing statement. And I think about this in the sense that I feel so blessed to live in America, to live in the United States of America. So thank you, Myra, for everything that you do. And thank you for being a part of the show.
No, thank you, Sarah. I'm happy to be here and being able to tell my story. I love this country. Our country is worth fighting for. Our children's future is worth fighting for. And everything I do every day is for them, is for our kids. And people before us fought for us to have the opportunities that we enjoy today. So it's our turn to make sure that our children also have those opportunities. I've accomplished the American dream. You know, and I tell people all the time, I accomplished the American dream before Washington. That's not the American dream. You know,
that's absolutely true. Because we were talking about our children and our, you know, our lives in Texas and our children and their future, and really being able to have a family and provide for them and be able to give them a better future than even what we had is part of that American dream. But that's also a part of our culture. It's a part of, I think, every human being on planet Earth is to want to give your child more than you yourself have.
Absolutely.
Or to want to protect them.
It's in
right?
our, yes, it's in our DNA. You know, even though I was born in Mexico, I was raised with those conservative values to always put God and family first. My parents brought me here to the United States because they wanted me to have the education and the opportunities that they didn't have. And
right,
that's the reason why I worked so hard at a very young age here. I started working when I was 13 years old, and that instilled in me the value of hard work and graduated high school, went to college. I was the first in my family to graduate from college and became a respiratory care practitioner and work with the elderly community, work with pediatrics, you know, and I'm a Border Patrol wife, I'm a mom, and that's the American dream. That really is the American dream. And I went to Congress to fight to keep the American dream alive. But the American dream, I had already accomplished it. And I believe that we are all the American dream.
Do you ever worry, Myra, watching what's happening right now in our country? I mean, my mother was a Cuban immigrant. I remember her telling me stories about coming, you know, from Cuba and then going to California in the late 1960s. She passed away, but I remember even up until the day she died, there wasn't a day that didn't go by where my mother wasn't saying how grateful, how much she loved this country, how much she was a part of this country. When people would say to her, "So I hear, Atha, that you're Cuban," she would say, "No, no, no." And that was her nickname, Atha. She would say, "No, no, no, no. I'm an American. I was born in Cuba, but I'm an American." And she was very grateful for that. But now I don't hear that as much with, you know, with young people. So it's almost like they've been taught, not all young people, but a good majority have been taught not to really love this country. That scares me.
It's so sad. It does. And it scares me as well. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of young people, you know, during my time in office, when I was campaigning. The majority of the people in my team were young people. So they gave me so much hope. I think that, you know, a lot of times the media makes us think something, but when you're out there and you're talking to a lot of young people, I do believe that, you know, they do love this country. There is, of course, some who take this country for granted. I do see a lot of people in Congress who don't have love for this country, you know, the country that they represent.
Okay, let's talk about some of those.
You know, I see people burning our flag, and it's sad. So, you know, I think, you know, what can we expect from young people when we have people in Congress, you know, that don't have no love for our country? But you're right. You know, even though I was born in Mexico, I would say I'm an American, you know, this is my country. I've been here since I was 6 years old, you know.
Right. This is your country.
This is my country. I'm not going anywhere. You know, I've been told so many times, go back to Mexico. I'm like, no, you're crazy. I'm not going back to Mexico. This is my country. And this is where, you know, my family is also from. My grandpa was born in Texas. Like, my family's from here, from Texas. And maybe that's why I feel so at home when I'm here, you know?
Right. I want to go back to that, because having someone say, you know, go back home. What an insult. You know what I mean? What a horrible thing to say to someone. And this is your home. And I remember that happening to my mom once, you know? And so there is a real, I'm not taking away from people that there aren't people in this world that are mean, that are racist, that are bad, but there are so many more, and I agree with you, that are good. And there's so many more values that unite us than divide us if we look at those values, right? If we focus on those values and build on those values. Do you think sometimes, like, I mean, and I know there is, I mean, and I'll just be straight up from my perspective, that there's a total misconception. Like, for example, when I cover the border, right? And I remember in the very beginning, I mean, this was maybe 20 years ago when I first started covering, you know, there were people that came out and said I was anti-immigrant. I couldn't believe it, because I'm the daughter of an immigrant. I wanted to cover the border to expose what was going on to the children that were being trafficked, to the drugs that were coming in, to the chaos. And now it is so out of control. And your husband's a Border Patrol agent. Talk a little bit about that, about these misconceptions, because I think, like you said about the media, I think people are constantly, certain media is constantly lying to them. They are not telling them the whole story about what is happening at the border and how damaging that is, not only to our nation, but to the people that are being trafficked by these cartels and these horrific organizations.
Absolutely. There's a dark side to illegal immigration. I always tell people, like, this is earth, you know, evil exists. This is not heaven. And not everyone crossing our country illegally is Jesus. You know, there's good people coming into our country. Absolutely. There's good people wanting to work hard and accomplish the American dream, but there's also evil, crossing, into our country illegally. And we want the good people to come here legally. I want every 6-year-old to have the same experience that I had. You know, I had a beautiful experience coming into this country. Why would I want and support children coming into our country knowing that they will get abused, knowing that many will be sold into child sex trafficking, knowing that they will be exploited, because it's happening. They're being exploited into the work labor. Like, we criticize China for this, but yet it's happening in our country at this moment. And this shouldn't be political. This is the reality of the border situation. Children are being exploited and sold into child sex trafficking. It's a fact.
Why is this not a bipartisan issue that we're both, you know, both sides? I'm willing to work. Look, I think there's something strange that's happened in our country where we are so divided that we can't even work together on a common issue that everyone should be fighting for, the life of a child. It was just a couple of weeks ago, Myra, I was talking to Texas Department of Public Safety, Lieutenant Christopher Olivares, who's a press secretary for DPS. And he and I were talking and we're talking about the children. And he was saying, Sarah, you know what? You should see, and we, you know, we talk, we share information because I like to expose those stories at the border. And I saw a photograph he sent me. He was on an assignment, an operation, and there was a little girl, and she's laying flat on her face in the back of a trunk, being brought in illegally from Mexico by people that aren't even related to her. Like, and this was one of many children that Texas DPS has intercepted. Do you know what I mean? At the border, where it's, she's not coming in with a family unit. This little boy is not coming in with a family unit. What do you think they're coming in for? And that's what Texas DPS is saying. What do you think these people are delivered? Who are they being delivered to? You know, these children. And that's a
question of mine as well. And the reason why they're bringing in children to be exploited, you know, to be sold into child sex trafficking, there's a demand in this country, right, for it. And we need to hold those people accountable. Anyone that is involved in child sex trafficking should never see the sun. You know, it life. You know, I cannot understand how evil these people are. And these people live in our country. And we need to create laws, harsher laws, to put these people in jail for the rest of their life. Those who exploit children, those who are involved in child sex trafficking, because they're bringing those children because there's a demand.
Let me tell you something, Myra. I absolutely 100% agree with you. I was talking this morning to one of my producers and I brought up the whole Jeffrey Epstein situation, you know? And it was weird. It was like, okay, he jumped off the second bunk apparently and killed himself, allegedly. But we only heard about a couple of, you know, girls that are now adults who actually, you know, went and fought in the courts, you know, demanded some justice for being abused. But we know that, you know, they were one of the most prolific sex traffickers, right, in our history. Yet none of the Johns are held accountable. None of the people that abuse these children, traffic these children, none of them. It's power, it's money, it's wealth. I mean, I'm sure people with money are the ones that are doing the abuse. And, you know, and that's so frustrating and infuriating to me, because how do we fight that?
So frustrating. Absolutely. And you're right. How do we fight that? That's the root of the problem. The same thing with drugs, you know, they're bringing, you know, drugs into our country. There's a demand as well. And I believe that we need to do more in helping people get out of drug abuse. There's a serious problem in our country with drug abuse. We need to help, you know, these Americans. We need to create more community centers in our communities to help the American people get out of drugs and help them, you know, get back on their feet. There's a real problem in our country. And so they're bringing drugs, but what is going back into Mexico, right? We're talking about guns and we're talking about money. And I'm a huge Second Amendment. I support 100% the Second Amendment. You know, that is not negotiable for me, but I do not agree in arming the Mexican cartel, right? So you have guns going into Mexico. And, you know, no one's talking about that the guns that were used on these four Americans were from the United States. You know, they were from the United States. So it's something that we need to do, and we need to stop every vehicle leaving as well, going into Mexico. You know, we inspect every vehicle coming into the United States, but we're not inspecting the vehicles leaving the United States. We need to start making sure that we inspect every vehicle, because Mexico's not doing it. Mexico's not doing its job. You know, they should be inspecting it.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of the people, and it's because it's on the border, are under the thumb of the cartel, even if they don't want to be. And that's terrifying for them. And that's terrifying, but we still have to fight back. We still have to do our job. That requires us working with our Mexican counterparts and being tough on crime, being tough on the cartels. Let me ask you this. What did you learn, like, from your time in Congress, because about how the system really works and about how it really doesn't work? Because I think that becomes the big frustration for so many Americans. You know, we're watching what's, and I think it requires every American. I think the American people have to be a part of the process in order for it to work. But from your perspective, from being in Congress, what did you take from that?
You know, something that I saw that was very frustrating to me that I saw right away was how they named the title of the bill something really, really nice, right? Really attractive. And because they know that most Americans are not going to read the bill. They're just going to read the title of the bill. But when you read the bill, it has nothing to do with the actual bill. So when, you know, the American people see, well, it's like, why is Myra voting against this bill? This bill sounds really nice. Well, if you read it, it has nothing to do with the actual bill. And that was one of my biggest frustration, because they are taking advantage of the American people. Because I'll be honest with you, I did not read bills before I got elected, right? I would just go based on the title. But I asked the American people, get informed, you know, questioned, why did this member vote against it, or why did they vote for it? Go beyond and do your own research, because they're taking advantage of us. And that was very frustrating to me. I saw the hypocrisy, how they claim to be for immigrants, they claim to be for women, but yet, you know, I felt so much hate from the far left. You know, I was told by them to go back to Mexico. I was told many times not to speak Spanish, you know, because they didn't want me to put out the information out there, right? They don't want the Hispanic community to have all the information. And I just want them to have all the information so they know exactly what they're voting for. But the Democrat Party doesn't want that. They want to continue controlling the Hispanic community. They want us to be dependent of the government. And I want the Hispanic community to prosper. I want the American people to prosper. I want us to be in leadership positions. Why not? And they don't want us in those positions. And if, you know, if they do want some people in those positions, they must obey them and follow the rules, you know?
Well, it's like they don't want us to think for ourselves. It's like groupthink, right? It's like, okay, you're allowed to be Black, you're allowed to be Hispanic, you're allowed to be whatever you were born as long as you're a part of the Borg, as long as you're a part of the Democratic mindset. You know, it's so weird. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Correct. It is so weird, because they're asking me to abandon, like, my values. They're asking me to forget how I was raised. And I'll never do that for no political party or no political career. You know, many times I was told, you know, Myra, you need to vote a certain way if you want to have a, you know, stay in this political career. And I said, you know what? I'd rather lose an election than lose my integrity. You know? And many people in Congress, they've lost their integrity. You know, they've lost their integrity and they're selling out our nation, our children's future. And I want nothing to do with that. I'm going to do what's right for my people, for our country. And I don't care what's politically correct, right? It's not about that. It's about just doing the right thing. And I'm proud of what I was able to do my time in Congress.
Oh, absolutely. Would you ever consider running for Congress again? I mean, part of your success was the Hispanic vote.
Absolutely. I think that we need more people like us. You know, I was told for a long time that we didn't have the qualifications, you know, that I didn't go to this prestige university. And I tell people all the time, look at our president. He went to the most prestigious university. He has hundreds of years of political experience. And what good does that do? He has no common sense, no love for our country. We need us, the everyday American, to start running this country. We do have what it takes to be up there. I've been there. And trust me, we have what it takes. Don't ever allow anyone to tell you that you're not qualified or don't have what it takes to be up there.
Wow, that is so important. That is such a great message. And I totally agree with you. I think that that's how they try to retain the power. They threaten, they lash back. We see what they're doing even right now, you know, utilizing and weaponizing, whether it's the district attorney here where I am in Manhattan, you know, a district attorney Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, or whether it's, you know, in Washington, D.C., and even throughout the nation, throughout the various school boards, we've seen it happen to Americans where they lash back this leftist kind of Marxist pseudo ideology that is like spreading across America like a virus. And I agree with you. I agree with you. The American people are waking up. They're saying, wow, no more. We are not going to put up with this. We don't want our children raised this way, but we have to pay attention. Like you said, they know that we won't have time to read all those bills, right? They know that when they put a bill out like 2 days before the vote, that even people in Congress won't have time to read the whole bill. So we have to take it back. I keep saying that on my podcast, Myra, over and over. Everybody, we've got to do it. We've got to speak up. We can't be afraid of these folks because that's what they want. They want us to be afraid or they want us to be quiet. And we shouldn't be anymore. We should speak out and defend our children in our country.
Absolutely. And I believe that the reason why we're in this mess is because we've stayed silent for far too long. We've also put God aside. We've put our values aside. And we shouldn't do that. God should be the center of everything that we do. Our faith, you know, our faith should be right in the center, and our kids. And I believe that they know that, you know, and they're wanting us to put all that aside. And that's the reason why I believe that we're in the mess that we're in.
I know that you just dropped off your kids because you told me at school. And I was telling you, like I told my husband, I feel like, you know, we are going to be taking kids to school and grandkids and, you know, and I love that. I love my life too, because I come from a big family, and that's how I was going to start this with you. And then I ended up going in a different direction. So I kind of want to end it with us talking about family, because I believe that nuclear family, our families, right, are what keep us moving forward. I think about the generations before me, you know, and your families and their struggles and their happiness and their hopes get us to where we are today and make us the people who we are. And you were saying you came from a very big family. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes, you know, from my mom's side, it's 10. From my dad's side, it's 12. So when we get together, it's honestly a beautiful thing. It's just amazing. My Christmas growing up were the best with my grandparents. We would actually go to Mexico every Christmas and spend it with my grandparents and my cousins. And it was just the best life ever. I had the best childhood, and I miss that. And I miss being able to go to Mexico because I don't visit Mexico as often as I used to because I'm afraid. And that's something that you know, the Mexican cartel has taken away from, not just from me, but from a lot of people here in South Texas and throughout this country, that we can't even visit our loved ones. But growing up, it was the best, you know, to come together as a family. And it was like 30, 50 of us, you know, it was the best.
Like a tribe. It's a tribe.
Yeah, it's the best. But I love it. The food, the family, the love. You know, and it hasn't changed till this day. We still get together. My grandparents now come here, of course, but it's something that I value so much, family, because I grew up with a very strong family, and I want the same for my kids. I have four kids, I have two boys and two girls. My oldest is already 17. He's going to be a senior. That scares me. And my little one is in first grade. So I have one in first grade and I have one graduating from high school.
Boy, I know what that feels like. But I have that too.
I was a very young mom. I was 19 when I had my first, actually 20 when I had my first, but they're everything to me. And I love big families. I love our get-togethers. I love the loud house, you know, and I love it all, even the fighting. You know, it's just part of it. When my house is quiet, I'm like, what's going on? What are they doing? You know,
that's exactly how I grew up. We must have had the same family. Because it was my mom's side, it was like the same. You know, there were 13 on my mom's side, and almost the majority of them came from Cuba to the United States, and their kids and my cousins. And I miss that. And maybe that's why my husband and I have six kids between us, you know, three boys, three girls. It's the same thing. And I love it when they're all together, and I love hearing those sounds. And I love the fact that we have three dogs and, you know, a cat, now an extra cat, not much, my son's cat, and they're running in and out of the house. And I feel so blessed, because it is America. Right?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That's what life's about. You know, when, you know, your kids, your husband, when I see that, I'm like, okay, this is what life's about. This is the American dream. Right. And a lot of us, I feel that we don't even know it, and we're living the American dream. You know, a lot of things that we do every single day, we take for granted, you know. And And I want people to know, like, you are the American dream. You live it every single day. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that you have to be, you know, an actor or an actress, or, you know, to be, you know, in Washington to accomplish the American dream. Like, no, that's not it. You know, we are the American dream. And I think what's most important is our family, our kids, you know, and to stay in prayer, and that our kids are healthy and strong, because that, what's really matters, you know. For me, it's like my kids' health. You know, I just, you know, I see so many people, you know, struggling with their kids' health. You know, I worked in the medical field and just saw so much suffering in children, and saw so many parents suffering as well. And if you have healthy children, consider yourself truly, truly blessed.
You're so right. You are so right on the money, that sometimes we forget, we take for granted that our lives are truly blessed, that this nation has truly given us something that hardly any other person on planet Earth experiences, this beautiful life, this freedom, and just being with family and having those moments. And I know what you're saying. There are so many people that are suffering. I mean, we should be praying for them, but we should be fighting for those values and really putting those values forward, the ones that we believe in, and never allowing anyone to take that from us. I hope you come back on the show, Myra. You've given me so much time today. I know I probably have.
Thank you.
Sitting out in front of the school still. I'm sure of it. I'm positive.
I am.
I knew it.
I'm in a parking lot.
I know. But I just want you to know, I hope you run for Congress again. I think you're an amazing leader. You're just such an amazing human being. And we're blessed to have you. And I tell this to people all the time, you don't need to be in Congress. Look, Myra's making changes. She's every single day, she's standing up for this country. Every single day, I hope that I am. Every single day I go to the, you know, in my own community in Texas, and I see people that are working hard to fight for this beautiful country. You don't, like, just like you said, Myra, you don't need to be in Congress to make a difference.
Amen.
You could just be yourself.
Yes. And I work with an amazing company, you know, Americano Media, which allows me to do what I love, you know, educating the Hispanic community on the platforms and, you know, wanting them to make an educated vote and giving them the facts, which is today we lack that. So I love working with such an amazing company, working with Texas Public Policy as well, because we want to make sure that we pass school choice. You know, school choice is a top priority. We're going to make it happen. I truly believe it. So no, we can make an impact in our country in many ways. You don't have to be in Washington to make an impact. But, you know, that is where my heart is. My heart is in service, right? In serving the American people. That is where my heart's at. But for now, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and enjoying my kids. They're still little. So I am going to be focusing on my family for now.
That's great. And I think that's beautiful. And so am I. And as soon as I leave New York and head back to Texas, I'm going to be spending some real quality time with my kids. And thank you so much for being a part of the show, Myra. And I'm bringing you back on, girl, because we have lots to talk about, lots to fight for. 2024 is just around the corner. Folks, there's another great American, and it's Mike Lindell with MyPillow. And I know I talk about it a lot, but I want you to get out there. I want you to buy some great American products at MyPillow.com. And right now you can save 85%. Listen to this, on Mike Lindell's MyPillow All Season Slippers. How, you just can't beat that. 85% right now. You can walk in total comfort with his four-tier cushioning system. It's available in moccasin or slip-on styles. You got all kinds of color options, a variety of sizes available. They're easy to clean. He sponsors the show. I buy them for my family, buy them for yours. Trust me, you will not regret this. These won't last long, so hurry to shopmypillow.com during the all-season slipper closeout sale. Get the all-season slipper for only $25. Can you believe that? With promo code Carter, that's C-A-R-T-E-R, while supplies last. Also, check out MyPillow's new products, including the My Mattress Topper 2.0 and the MyPillow 2.0 at MyPillow.com, promo code Carter. MyPillow.com, promo code Carter. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Carter. Well, it was great for you to join me today. Thank you so much. You know how much I appreciate it. Even you overly masculine testosterone males, thank you so much for following me. And to all of you out there, all of you women who have been in my boat, thank you so much for sharing in my pain. I love you. This is America. What Myra Flores had to say, I think, is just something that we should all be listening to. Every single one of us has the ability to make a difference in this country. Every single one of us has the ability to save this great nation, to keep this nation moving forward, to give hope for our children, and to give future generations something to believe in. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Follow me on Truth at Sarah Carter Official, Twitter at Sarah Carter DC, and on Instagram at S Carter DC. God bless you. God bless our great nation. God bless the beautiful city of New York, and God bless the great state of Texas.